Y'all new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Sullivan, and emergency Pick Six Podcast, because we have a blockbuster of all blockbusters coming across the NFL ticker. The Houston Texans and the Buffalo Bills have pulled off a trade that will send four-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Stephon Diggs to Houston. The parameters of this trade, per Jonathan Jones, the Texans are sending over a 2025 second-round pick, which is the Vikings pick that in part they acquired in that deal earlier this offseason. Meanwhile, Houston gets Stephon Diggs, a 2024 sixth-rounder and a 2025 fifth-rounder. Join me to break this all down is our NFL draft expert, Josh Edwards. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing a lot better now that you did the emergency siren so that I didn't have to. That's the one thing that we're missing from having Breach on here today, so I'm glad you took care of that.
Well, you know what? We got Brinson scuba diving on some sort of vacation, or maybe he's just scuba diving for fun, and then this is Breach's normal day off, so you knew something crazy was going to go down, but boy, this one is a doozy on a multitude of different levels. First, let's look at it from the Buffalo Bills side of things. It's pretty interesting to see how quickly this deteriorated between Stephon Diggs and the Bills organization. The writing was kind of on the wall over the last, I would say, year or so. I mean, you can go back to incidents between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs kind of arguing on the sidelines, having heated discussions. Go back to the start of mandatory minicamp last year where he wasn't there, and there was kind of some weird comments made by head coach Sean McDermott. And then just fast forward to last night, you have Robert Griffin III asking the question of whether or not Stephon Diggs is essential to Josh Allen's success. And then you have a commenter saying, does Josh benefit from having a top tier wide receiver? Yes. Is he essential to his success? No. And Stephon Diggs responds to that tweet and says, you sure? ? So that is really the final note here for Stephon Diggs as a member of the Buffalo Bills. I don't know if this is the straw that breaks the camel's back, but I do think that this certainly doesn't help the situation. And it just felt like things were off between Diggs and Allen, Diggs and the organization. So when you kind of look back at this, what do you think went wrong here?
Well, it's been clear that they're on different pages over the past couple of years. It's one of the worst kept secrets in the NFL. It seems like we've been talking about this for the past three off seasons. So for it to come to a head in this manner, I don't think it's all that surprising. I will say, from Buffalo's perspective, it is unique because you are in a title window to move on from a productive player like Stephon Diggs, who has made so many essential plays in that offense. It's a little bit, I won't say concerning, but it is noteworthy because of all the other voices that they've gotten rid of in that locker room this offseason. Jordan Poyer is gone. You know, they've just had this, they've pulled more talent out of that roster than they put into it thus far. So for a team that has those Super Bowl aspirations, it's a little bit concerning. Everybody wants to talk about his age, his contract, all that stuff. I get it. But I don't think Buffalo would have been motivated to make this move if they did not feel there was a little bit of discourse between the organization and maybe more specifically Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs.
You know, you look at it from, you know, the start of last year, you go through the first 6 weeks of the season, you're thinking, okay, maybe all of this, you know, the hubbub was just all to do about nothing because Diggs was balling. He had over 100 yards in five of his first six games, but then things really started to drop off. Didn't touch 100 yards receiving for the rest of the season. Averaged to 51.2 receiving yards per game. Really seemed to be out of sync with Josh Allen. And I do think that you point to something that's interesting. On top of just kind of like losing veteran talent, like you talk about Poyer, I almost really am surprised that the Bills didn't land on their feet a little bit better here with Stephon Diggs. And what I mean by that is they didn't really prepare for this, even though you and I, and it seemed like everybody was noticing this deteriorating relationship over the last few years. Sure, they draft Dalton Kincaid in the first round. That certainly will help as they move forward. But you let Gabe Davis go in free agency. You haven't really addressed wide receiver too much. I know they signed Mac Hollins, and I think they brought in a few other guys. But you look at that position group, the cupboard's really bare. And so, you know, they acquire a second round pick. You look at their draft capital this cycle. Now they have the number 28 overall pick, number 60 overall. Is there a wide receiver, or are there a couple of wide receivers in that range that would make sense? Or is this a team that needs to kind of trade up to get one of those bona fide studs to replace Diggs?
Well, that's the important question, because Stephon Diggs is not easily replaced. He's not somebody that will probably be replaced by someone that is available at number 28 overall. You know, if they were to trade up in this draft, I mean, maybe they get an opportunity to select one of those top three wide receivers. But even then, I think you have to get all the way up into the top 10 overall to even have a shot at a guy like Roma Dunze, who's probably going to be the third wide receiver taken, I would imagine, of that trio at the top. You know, I don't see him getting past Chicago at number 9 overall. So you have to get all the way up there if you want one. Those guys are gone. How desperate does Buffalo become? Do you want to move up to number 12 and try to get Brian Thomas Jr., who's kind of considered the best of the rest at that point? Or do you wait and see how the draft plays out? I think Buffalo's approach to this is going to be very interesting, because once that top tier is gone, it may be 20-ish before we see another wide receiver taken. He could go number 16 overall. It's hard to say, but the type of talent that will be available at number 28 overall, you're probably talking about A.D. Mitchell from Texas, who's a little bit of a taller. He's explosive, but somebody that's still kind of a vision on the football field as much as he is a finished product. So I think you have to be patient with him. So that's where it's difficult to say anybody is going to step into Stephon Diggs's shoes. You're either going to take a guy that you probably have to be patient with, or you take, you know, a couple flyers in this draft class. Maybe you don't just take somebody in the first round. Maybe you take somebody else on day two, or you take a couple of guys on day two and target a different position in round one. I think that's probably the best approach, is to take a couple of dart throws at this and try to find a couple of guys that are able to cobble together the production that's lost in the Stephon Diggs trade.
And not only that, I do think that, as you kind of were saying, it's going to be difficult for them to get in that range. I mean, not only are these teams, you know, certain, most of these teams trying to combat these teams trying to trade for quarterbacks in that top range. So they're going to be willing to give up a little bit more, I would say, than you to get inside that top I don't know, 13, 10. And let's just say, even if, you know, you a talent drops to number 10, you think the New York Jets are going to trade with you to help you out to try to find that wide receiver to replace Stephon Diggs? I just think it's going to be really difficult for them to kind of land on their feet here, especially at this point in the offseason. It's kind of a weird zone because you do have the draft ahead of you, but you're not really in the best position to get one of those stars, and free agency has already come and gone. I mean, I guess there's the Tyler Boyd route. There's the Odell Beckham Jr. route. There are some veterans still available, but certainly none to the level of Stephon Diggs. And I think that it would be a fool's errand to say at this point, as you kind of are mentioning, to try to replace Stephon Diggs with one player. It's not really going to be like that, but I'm not even really talking about Stephon Diggs. I'm talking about remaking their entire wide receiver room. Davis is gone. You have Diggs now traded. It just feels like there's not a lot there for Josh Allen in this offense to now contend with Aaron Rodgers coming back, with Garrett Wilson and all those guys that they have in that offense. Obviously the Miami Dolphins with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. Those are going to be really difficult offenses to keep pace with when really right now your top receiver is a tight end.
Yeah, I mean, look what they did last offseason, drafting Dalton Kincaid in the first round. Many thought that that was, you know, kind of their way to combat what Kansas City is doing with Travis Kelce. If you want to get all the way up to, you know, that top 12 range, RJ White of Sportsline.com, somebody that you and I have worked with pretty closely over the past couple of years, has his own trade value chart. And he said that in addition to that number 28 overall selection, it's probably going to take a first round pick in 2025 to move up to number 11. And then if you want to move up even farther than that, it's of course going to take, you know, potentially another first round pick, a second round pick, which now they have an additional in 2025. So it's going to take a lot to move up, and it's a matter of whether or not it's going to be worth it to trade up for one of those wide receivers. Cause even at 11, you're not guaranteed one of those top three guys that are discussed at that part of the draft. I think one of the other considerations, does this become a team that is now interested in T. Higgins in Cincinnati? I don't know that Cincinnati is going to be willing to trade to Buffalo considering their history in the playoffs. Do they show some level of interest in a Deebo Samuel or a Brandon Ayuk? Do they themselves look for a veteran on the market to perhaps bridge the gap a little bit with one of those draft picks that they are still almost assuredly going to walk away with, even if they take a veteran in or even if they trade for a veteran?
I think that you make a good point there with the wide receivers that could be available via trade. Cincinnati would be tough because it's in the conference. They're still contending for a Super Bowl. But if things get tenuous with Brandon Ayuk, I could see that as a potential. Again, it's NFC, AFC. You could see that making a decent amount of sense. And just quickly, as we look at what this really means for Buffalo from a draft position, from financially, the Bills are going to carry about $31.1 million in dead cap money for Diggs. You got to remember, he signed a monster deal with them not too long ago. And as we mentioned earlier, you look at Josh Allen's most touchdown passes to wide receivers in his career. Number one, Stephon Diggs with 39. Gabe Davis, number two at 31. The next closest is Cole Beasley with 12 touchdowns. So the majority of his production as a passer has gone to those two wide receivers who are now out the window. All right, we covered what this means for Buffalo. Now let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll talk about what this means for the Houston Texans.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
So again, we covered what this means for Buffalo, and it kind of feels like they're in an awkward stage in their championship window of sorts. Now we look to the Houston Texans, who are kicking that door completely open in terms of championship window. And they're doing exactly what I think that they should be doing at this point. They hit a home run with C.J. Stroud at the draft at number 2 overall last year. Wins Offensive Rookie of the Year. Looks like the next best thing in terms of bright young quarterbacks in the NFL. And what do you do when you have a bright young quarterback on a rookie deal? You do everything humanly possible to surround him with talent, no matter the price, because you're getting him at such a bargain. So Stephon Diggs certainly doesn't come cheap. He's 30. He's going to be kind of in the twilight of his career, but I ultimately think that this is a home run move for this franchise. What do you think?
I agree, and we've seen Houston's aggressiveness this offseason, showing interest in Keenan Allen. They were rumored to be one of the teams as a finalist in the possibility of acquiring him before he was traded to Chicago. So you're seeing a team that understands what they have at the quarterback position, understanding that they are potentially in the Super Bowl window here and being aggressive with that. I think we've seen a couple of teams kind of be aggressive with the understanding that they have young quarterbacks that you have to support. Carolina, of course, Bryce Young did not have the same level of success as Stroud last year, but you've seen what they've done this offseason, spending a lot at the offensive guard position, trading for Deontay Johnson, Tennessee with Will Levis. They go out to get Lloyd Cushenberry, the top center in free agency. They signed Calvin Ridley, who was arguably the top wide receiver available in this year's free agency class. So a couple of teams really making moves with young quarterbacks, and you're able to do that when you have that cost-controlled rookie contract at the quarterback position before it balloons into that $50 million annually that kind of prevents you from spending at other positions. So I admire Houston being aggressive, understanding the situation that they are in. And now they have a very competent wide receiver room now with Nico Collins, who really burst onto the scene last year, was able to show his full potential. Tank Dell, when he was healthy and available, was one of the most explosive wide receivers in the NFL. And then now you've got Stephon Diggs to round out that room. I think it's a really good complementary skill set when you look at what they've got and what they've been able to build in that wide receiver room.
Yeah, I mean, you look around the league and you try to, when you look at these trios of wide receivers, there's a chance here that this could be one of the best, if not the best. I mean, before he went down with injury, Tank Dell was like a fantasy football darling. He was just an absolute beast. It was part of this wave that the Texans have brought on in that draft a year ago. You talk about Stroud, you talk about Tank Dell, you talk about Will Anderson. And this has really been a seismic offseason for them because, as you kind of noted, they do recognize the position that they're in with, a second-year head coach in D'Amico Ryans, who was able to put all the pieces together and win that division. Stroud certainly bursting onto the scene as, at one point, a borderline MVP candidate. And now you go into this offseason, you acquire Diggs most recently, but you go out and acquire Joe Mixon via trade. You get Danielle Hunter. Just you go down the list of what they've been able to do. I think that they're the favorites in that division, certainly against the Jaguars. And I, you know that once we get to training camp and once we start talking about season-long futures, they're going to be the sexy team to win the Super Bowl. I don't think that there's really any doubt about that.
No question. And I think when you talk about the level of talent that Buffalo could possibly get at number 28 overall, or maybe even into day 2, the same has been a consideration for Houston. They understand that there is a drop-off in ability once you get to that stage of the draft. So they weren't able to find a Stephon Diggs in round 2, the way that Cleveland was not able to find a Jerry Jeudy in round 2. That's why these teams get aggressive. They see an opportunity to maximize their championship window, and they go get players. Because with the way that the wide receiver market financially is expanding, guys like Jerry Jeudy getting $17 million a year, I believe over the next 4 years, Stephon Diggs is under contract. He's getting like $77, $78 million, somewhere in there. So less than $20 million. If you're getting a level of production that is similar, comparable to what we have seen over the past couple of years, that is a steal. I mean, that's cheaper than Calvin Ridley. So it is a little bit of a risk when you have a 30, almost 31-year-old wide receiver. But if you're able to achieve that level of production that we've seen from him, then they're going to be getting a steal, and they're going to be a team that is very much in Super Bowl contention and you know, a threat within that division.
And you look at what they've been able to do over the last couple of years here in terms of, you know, under Nick Caserio, being able to draft and develop. You know, I think we're looking at it this year too. You know, they still have the number 42 overall pick in the second round, and they also have another second round, number 59 as well. It's not, you know, because I think people will say, oh, they lost their second round pick this year. No. That's in 2025. This deal doesn't really impact them too much in the 2024 NFL draft. I think the only pick that's going to them this year is a sixth round pick that's going. Oh, I'm sorry. They acquire a sixth round pick. So again, you know, it doesn't really matter to them as well. What do you think that their needs are now? Because we're talking about them loading up at wide receiver. They've obviously made moves for Danielle Hunter. They fixed the backfield with Joe Mixon. At that number 42 spot, and even if you want to talk about both those picks in the second round, what is something that Houston should be looking at on day two there as they start their NFL draft?
Yeah, I'll give you an ideal scenario. Number 42 overall, you get a defensive tackle. You get Braden Fisk from Florida State, Chris Jenkins from Michigan. You know, one of those guys that can kind of give you more depth, more juice along that interior defensive line to pair with Will Anderson Jr. and now Danielle Hunter, who they signed in free agency. I think that would be an ideal situation. They showed interest in Eric Armstead before he eventually signed with Jacksonville. And at number 59 overall, I think if you can get a cornerback, you get a Max Melton from Rutgers, you get a Kamari Lassiter from Georgia, addressing two positions of need on the defensive side of the ball, I think is an ideal outcome for them in this draft class. And what trading that 2025 second round pick allows you to do is to use those second round picks this year in a way that benefits you now. So just another example of how this team is doing everything that they can and setting themselves up to capitalize on the window that they have currently, irregardless of the future and the ramifications that come with it. They see an opportunity, they see an open window, they're jumping through it. That's what Houston is doing, and I think every team has to take note of that, because what they showed last year was just the beginning. I mean, now you've got C.J. Stroud in year two of his rookie contract, year two in that offensive system, and you've now given him Stephon Diggs. So a team that is making moves to win right now, and they're acquiring the talent that's going to allow them to do so.
And we talk a lot about, you know, we're talking a lot about the moves that they made. Obviously, you know, we're breaking in here because of the Stephon Diggs trade and what that means for C.J. Stroud. I think one of the more underrated things that happened with Houston this offseason is the fact that they were able to retain offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick. The fact that you can keep that same voice with C.J. Stroud going into year two, and there's not this change in offensive coordinator. There's a change in the voices that he's hearing and even just small tweaks to the system. That is so massive for the development of a young quarterback to have some consistency. I thought it was one of the more underrated coups that they were able to keep him in Houston, not lose him to a head coaching job, because I believe he had at least a couple of interviews, or at least he was rumored to be gaining some steam as a head coaching prospect. You know, and if they continue on this ascent, what we think that they could do now that Diggs is in place, and if they have another strong draft, as you mentioned, and they identify some things on day two, you could see a lot of these coordinators get picked off as head coaching possibilities, and Slowick certainly one of them. But as of right now, they are sitting pretty heading into 2024. And I was just pulling up some of the odds here, what they could, you know, where they stack up in terms of the rest of the league. They're tied with the Philadelphia Eagles and Dallas Cowboys at 17-1 to win the Super Bowl. They're still looking up at teams like the Bengals, the Bills, the Ravens, the Lions, 49ers, and Chiefs, obviously. But you put them right in that kind of window. I mean, you're in a division where you should be able to pile up some wins. You'll probably get a home gate if you win that division, and I'm just pulling it up quickly. They might not even be up at this point, but the AFC South, if it's there, yep, they're still the favorites. They're actually plus 115 to win the division. Jaguars plus 240. I kind of like that number, plus money, Houston Texans at this point. What they've been able to do, it to me, I really am bullish on them. I think that they're going to be, you know, I don't know if Super Bowl is definitely the play there, but boy, at that number, 17-1, I don't know. I kind of like them better at Dallas than this point, right?
Yeah, I agree with you because this is a team that has shown that they are capable of rising to the occasion. Stephen O has sent out his reports on how this trade kind of impacts the overall win-loss record of these two teams. And Houston, with Stephon Diggs, now has a 0.5 game, you know, towards their overall win-loss record increase. So before they were supposed to win 8.7 games without Stephon Diggs. Now with Stephon Diggs, the projection is 9.2 wins. So you've seen that level of increase already. And I think with the talent that they've acquired elsewhere, Danielle Hunter, as we mentioned, the additions that they made to the interior defensive line, this is a team that has filled some of those weaknesses on their roster. And they already showed that they're capable of competing with that within that division. Now you've got Jacksonville, who is looking to bounce back with Trevor Lawrence this year. You've got Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. So there's going to be some other teams that have a say in this ultimate divisional outcome. But for my money, Houston has got to be the favorite heading into this season because of what they've already shown in such a short order of time. And CJ Stroud, you saw him take ownership of that offense over the course of the year, the second half of the season. He was more and more comfortable with what they were trying to do. Every year, teams go into the bye week and they assess what is working, what is not working. They make adaptions. And they, you know, make a run towards the second half of the season. Now that you've got a full offseason with CJ Stroud, where he's not doing pre-draft workouts, interviews, everything that comes with the pre-draft process, being able to have that open dialogue with your offensive coordinator and just say, hey, this is what I'm comfortable doing. This is what I didn't think worked for us. That level of dialogue after a year spent together is going to benefit them immensely. And I think they have to be viewed as the favorites in that division.
And, you know, quickly here, we're just talking about some of the odds. I just pulled up MVP at a variety of different books. And, you know, Stroud is about 10-1, 11-1. And it's really only looking up at Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes. And if we just look at Josh Allen, I'll look at FanDuel. Josh Allen is plus 750 to win MVP, second best odds at the moment. Now, I'm sure these will change following the news of Stephon Diggs. But, boy, Stroud is a much better bet, in my opinion, than Josh Allen. And sure, if Allen still wills his team to a division title or something along those lines, in spite of losing all of his receivers, that narrative will surely help him get votes. But boy, 10-1, 11-1 right now for CJ Stroud, I think is pretty fascinating. But before we get out of here, before we wrap this up, let's grade this trade. I already had to grade it for the site. I gave the Texans an A. I gave the Bills a C-, I believe, just because if you're talking about, like I was saying earlier, the reason why I give them a low grade here is because it felt like this was coming at some point or another, and you didn't really prepare as well as you could have for this inevitable departure. So that to me is why I think it's a tough spot that the Bills find themselves in. Meanwhile, the Texans, you go all in, you're doing the right thing by bringing in a star receiver while you still have Stroud on his rookie contract. What do you think?
I would give the Bills a B, which is more of an incomplete, because I think there is part of the story that we do not yet know. I do think there is opportunity for them to use this new draft capital that they have acquired to, you know, better suit their interests moving forward, whether that means trading for a veteran or making a move in the NFL draft to get a player that's going to, you know, pick up some of that production lost from Stephon Diggs. From Houston's perspective, I give it an A. Knowing where you are as an organization, having the self-awareness to know that you exceeded expectations this past year, you've got the talent on both sides of the ball to really make a run at a Super Bowl this year. Having that self-awareness, I think, is incredibly important, as much as it is for the bad teams that maybe don't have the self-awareness that they're not going to compete. So I admire what they did. I think it was, you know, something that they had to do. something that the fans are probably really excited about. And I think all of that combined makes this a home run decision for Houston and what they're trying to accomplish for the upcoming season.
Yeah, we're both in agreement, both giving them A's there. I'll just play devil's advocate quickly before we get out of here. You know, this is Diggs is a 30-year-old, almost 31-year-old wide receiver who did fall off down the stretch, averaging 51 receiving yards after the first 6 weeks, where he was, you know, over 105 of his first six games. There should be some concern there, right? You're owed to him a lot of money. He did kind of fall off. He couldn't make it work with a guy that we just said had the second best odds to win MVP. So, you know, as much as we're giving this, you know, as much praise as we are, let's also just say that, hey, there is a sliver, there is a possibility that something is falling off with Diggs. Now, you know, there was something I remember earlier, you know, or midway through last season, Justin Reed from the Chiefs was saying that we're not even double coveraging Stephon Diggs. So, you know, you have players kind of throwing shade at him, whether that's just a rivalry, just kind of throwing elbows just for the sake of throwing elbows. That remains to be seen. But I do think an engaged Stephon Diggs in an offense where there are now multiple receiving options, whether, you know, you talk about, you know, Tank Dell, Noah Brown, you go down the list, Nico Collins. There's a lot of options
that
there.
That could ultimately be a bad thing too, though, that they do have a lot of options at the position. That still remains to be seen, but that'll be an interesting dynamic.
You're talking about a guy that wants his targets, and with a lot of mouths to feed in Houston, it's going to be interesting for CJ Stroud and how they make all that work. We think it's a good trade. We think it's going to be very interesting for Houston as they look to go back-to-back in the AFC South Division. Meanwhile, the Buffalo Bills have a lot of work to do to reshape that wide receiver room. Josh Edwards, appreciate you taking the time. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube when you're listening to the podcast, wherever, Apple Music, Spotify, anywhere. Make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.